Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, and I don't give a fuck who hears this anymore because these are going to be the last two episodes of the show from what I see. This is your unfriendly Pinhead 198, James DC, here to talk to you about, on this episode, the new Batman film. I have seen it 3 times as of this recording. Yes, 3 times. I saw it secretly today before I started having cooked a feast. I think we have a little bit to discuss because for a lot of people, this is a masterpiece. It's not a masterpiece. For a lot of people, they hate this film. It's not terrible. So we're going to discuss full blown. And I'm going to have to tiptoe here because I don't want to spoil it, but I also don't give a fuck because it's just the way it is. So I'm going to try not to spoil it for those who have not seen it, but I will get into critically what I liked, what I loved, and what I absolutely despised about this film. I'll start off right off the bat. I despised the length of this film. The pacing was not good enough for so much fat that was in this film. It was too fucking long. And this is coming from a guy who likes The Godfather and The Godfather Part 2, which are epically, notoriously long fucking films. But those were better directed, better written films. But, you know, this is a masterpiece, right? We will also get into a terrible, grot-filled film that is The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. We're going to go very briefly with that one. And we're also going to do, excuse me, getting sick. Or I'm starting coke, who knows. We're going to get into small AEW predictions. What I really want to see at AEW Revolution tomorrow night on pay-per-view, which I looked it up. It costs $50 to watch it on pay-per-view, but they're also, they mentioned something, and let's crack one open as we discuss this. They mentioned, when I was watching Rampage specifically, AEW Rampage's episode, they really hammered it home that you, in specific, you know, cities and states, you can get AEW Revolution, the pay-per-view, and you can see it on the big screen. So I looked it up and tried to see, is there a hope of hope? You know, AMC has The Godfather 50th anniversary, so we can't watch. Is there just that one sliver of hope that AEW, I could watch AEW's Revolution pay-per-view on the big screen in digital Dolby? Could it be? Could it be? And yes, it is here in my state of Nevada. So I will be going to see Revolution AEW on the big screen in just perfect sound, perfect clarity, a giant screen bigger than my TV that I have. My TV's no slouch, but it's no, none of us have a fucking huge screen screen like that. So I cannot wait for AEW. Regardless of if the pay-per-view is fucking grot, I will still enjoy it because it will be on the biggest screen possible. Because I need the big screen for my blind ass. So, but we'll get into that. And then we're going to load it up and talk about predictions of what we could see for this pay-per-view. I'm looking forward to it. But we'll see. But first, we gotta get into the Batman. Did I love this movie? Did I hate it? I don't want to call it average, because it's not average. There's some really great things in this film, but there's also some real grot. No lie, I know, and one of the people I know who is, you're my boy, but this is not a 10 out of 10. I know some are giving it a 10 out of 10. They're calling it a masterpiece. Yeah, this is Matt Reeves' worst film as far as I'm concerned. The Batman Begins with promising $57 million opening day at domestic box office. Well, that's great. What did we get for the grand total? Of this film, because you know you're saying 120 to 150 million. Cool. Seems a little light for a Batman film, but cool. The Batman blasts off to 120 million plus box office opening. So let's be fair, because you guys like doing this, so we're gonna do it too. Because a lot of you are saying this. That this movie's better than The Dark Knight. Let's find out. This movie... don't do that. No, we're not doing that. We're doing The Dark Knight. So let's look at the opening weekend, because opening, The Dark Knight got, in its opening weekend, because you know this movie's better than The Dark Knight, for a lot of folks. So that means that it should have made more money, right? The opening weekend of The Dark Knight was 158 million. Period. Like, it's more than that, but we're just gonna be fair to Batman, considering this is Robert's first film. But still, this is better than The Dark Knight right out the gate from its first film, right? And it still did not make as much. Let's find out what the grand total will be by the end of this run. Maybe I'll be wrong, but, you know, it's already better than The Dark Knight. It only came out for how many days? You guys need to stop doing this shit. Because this is going to make me punish this movie even more. You need to stop doing this shit. You cannot compare this Batman film to The Dark Knight. Because someone told me, oh, this has a lot of 7 vibes. I keep hearing it as 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. And I was like, okay, well, maybe you're just reaching. Oh, no. This movie went above and beyond the call of doing the 7. Like, the 7 references got ridiculous after a while. And I don't want to hear from those Batman films, well, I don't know about 7. That's your problem, and you're uneducated in cinema for it. That's your problem. If you've actually seen 7 and really paid attention to 7, and if you've actually seen The Batman, this most recent iteration of The Batman, You don't even have to have seen it three times like I did, but if you've seen this most recent iteration, if you've seen Seven and you paid attention to both films, the call-outs are a little ridiculous. Almost to a point where it becomes a crutch. And we're like, we get it, we get it, we get it. Paul Dano stole the show. I'll say that right now. It should have just been called Paul Dano. Or this should have just been a Riddler movie. Because at the end of the day, Robert was great as Batman. I'm not taking anything away from him. He was fantastic. And that's part of my positive to this movie. We can put the sparkly Twilight bullshit to bed, because you could never see him sparkle because it was always in the fucking dark. In gray color palettes with really dark brooding, you know, like a certain other movie that they're always trying to be like, oh, I don't know, Seven? So, Robert was great as Batman. But I would argue Paul Dano stole the fucking show, because his Riddler portrayal... And I get it, the Zodiac Killer, it's similar to the Zodiac Killer, even though it's really not, only except for, you know, the puzzles he sent to the police, but other than that, it's really not. But, you know, we'll go with that. But at any rate, Paul Dano was fantastic. He was fucking, anytime you saw him, he just gobbled scenery. And it almost makes me understand why, for as much as he was in the film, he wasn't really in the film that much, because, you know, Matt was like, oh shit, you're going to overshadow Robert's Batman. And he did a lot of the times. I mean, we have a whole monologue at the end, not spoiling it, where he has Batman standing in the shadows and Batman can't say shit because he's listening and watching Paul Dano, the Riddler, gobble the scenery. So, and that's going to be my biggest spoiler right there, but, you know, because we do get that Christian Bale and we get a lot of those call-outs too. You're better than Dark Knight, but you want to be like it, because we get a lot of those call-outs too. We literally get a Joker, Heath Ledger Joker meets Christian Bale's Batman scene in the same fucking movie with Robert Pattinson as Batman. And I don't want to go far because that will ruin it, but we get one of those scenes with Paul Dano as the Riddler and Robert Pattinson as the Batman. Now, you know, this movie's better than The Dark Knight, right? This movie was too long, and I hate saying that because I love long films. I spent a whole day of watching films that were far more, you know, artistically better and far more better directed. You know, I'm not articulating it right, but they were far better films than The Batman. And for those of you, this is a masterpiece. What film could be better than The Batman? The Dark Knight? No. Doesn't even come close. The films that I watched today, and we'll look over the list because I still got them on my list. Because I never remember to, as I'm an idiot, never remember to check them out. But, you know, 8.5. Much better film, artistically and storytelling-wise, than The Batman. Seven Samurai. I watched that today. Much better film, artistically, than The Batman. Yojimbo. Even though I'm not pronouncing that 100% correctly. But still a much better film than The Batman. Godzilla. The original 1954 untampered with non-American King of Monsters version, the Japanese version, a much better film than The Batman. The Red Balloon, a 34-minute short film, great film, much better than The Batman. And these don't even come close to comparing to, you know, oh, that's not fair. That's not fair, James. Pinhead, that's not fair. They're not the same films. You're right. However, we are comparing the Batman as a masterpiece. This Batman, and it's only been out for, what, 5 days? By the time you all listen to this, you know, Monday, we're comparing it to those masterpiece films. Like, it's an artistic, cinematic masterpiece. This is the Batman we've been waiting for. Is it, though? I think Matt could have done a lot better, especially if he trimmed, you know, a couple of inches off the fat of this film. You could have cut this down to 20 minutes and it might have been chef's kiss. But you didn't, because you want to keep dragging it out and out, because I'm telling a story about a sophisticated, dark, brooding Batman in his young years of only year two Batman. This should have been a year one Batman, but we're going to completely skip that and make it a year two Batman. And it's a year two Batman film, because we know that because of the case files of the year two Batman project. So this is Batman in his second year, from what we could be told, until the sequel tells us different. So, you know, to retcon your bullshit. I know this makes it sound like I hate this film. I don't hate this film. I think it's mediocre at best. This is not a masterpiece. It really isn't. When you beyond the fact of what the definition of what masterpiece really means, and my boy Robert, who I went and saw this film with, he pointed this out to me, and it's subjective. I get that. But the true definition of what masterpiece is not what you guys are talking about. You're talking about how you feel about this film and what you think it should be. And what I mean is, excuse me. God, I think I'm really getting sick. Excuse me. I'm calling this a masterpiece because this is the best film I've seen in, you know, ever. But is it? So now we really have to... Where are we going to draw the line? So it's not a masterpiece because... You cannot be a masterpiece if you're calling back to other films constantly. You cannot be a masterpiece if your main character gets outshined by the supporting characters, like Selena Kyle, Zoe Kravitz's character. Her story was far more interesting than anything the Batman had to be told, because you know what? You didn't tell us shit. You didn't tell us shit. Because you were too busy trying to be like David Fincher's Seven and trying to make this a dark detective story. This is the first time that the Batman has ever been a detective on live. Maybe this is the first time the Batman has been a detective on live, you know, cinema. But this is not the first time the Batman has been a detective in live motion picture, or whether it be television, or this is not the first time the Batman has been a detective in live platform, for lack of a better term. The Batman was a fucking detective even more than Robert Pattinson's Batman in this film in the 60s with Adam West and Burt Ward. They had nothing but to be detectives because they didn't have the technology that this Batman has. So don't tell me that this is the first fucking time that we're seeing live-action detective Batman. You just don't want to admit it because this is far more brooding and the fucking 60s Batman was goofy. Still doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, the 60s Batman had far more detective work, and he was a better detective than Robert Pattinson's. I'm just going to say it right there. He was a Adam West Detective Batman was a better detective than Robert Pattinson's detective, because Robert Pattinson literally just relied on technology and everybody else doing the work for him. Alfred did most of the fucking work for the fucking Riddles in this film. Alfred literally went back to his fucking military days, and to solve these riddles, Alfred did most of the work. It wasn't Batman, but he's a detective. But we could also argue as well, in the 60s, Robin did most of the detective work for Batman. But how much of a detective is Batman? Have we really seen that? I'd argue we haven't yet. But you guys said, this is the one we're waiting for, right? I give this movie a 6 out of 10. We're moving on. I've had enough. Fuck Batman. This movie was one of the most disappointing films of the year so far. And I don't know how it could get worse than this. Because this is going to end my Marvel. I'm done with the pop culture shit, because Hollywood can do nothing but disappoint. This movie was mediocre at best. Now that I'm thinking about it, now that I've seen it a third time, fuck this movie. It's mediocre. And everybody's overhyping this shit because they love to blow the load of Batman and fucking comic book films. Because you guys worship Hollywood celebrities so fucking much, and pop culture so fucking much, that you'll say a mediocre film is 10 out of 10. A mediocre copy. It's a blatant copy of fucking 7. Really? This was a masterpiece. A blatant copy of 7. That's awesome. Because, you know, Batman was Mills in the fucking bat suit. And Jim Gordon was fucking Detective Somerset. But, you know, we had the diaries just like 7. We had the gray, gritty color palette just like 7. But, you know, it's not 7 because the Batman's in it. Fuck this movie. It's a 5 out of 10. I've just changed my mind. Fuck the Batman. It's average at best on a good day. 5 out of 10. Fuck this movie. We're moving on to an even worse film. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, brought to us by Cuckflix. Excuse me, Netflix. Get those mixed up sometimes. You know, I'm a drunken idiot, and that's why these are going to be the last two episodes. Fuck this movie too, because it was boring, it was garbage, it was grot. Let's go over it. We're resurrecting a series that even most hardcore horror fans don't even care about. Let's go over the lineage of Texas Chainsaw Massacre Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies. The first one, it was a cult classic and a great film because it was different for its time. It wasn't the typical slasher, and some could even argue it was one of the few in the lineup that gave birth to the, you know, slasher based on a serial killer. But then you get to 2, and no one cared. They hated the movie except for Bill Moseley. And that's it. Everybody hated Dennis Hopper in that movie. Even Dennis Hopper hated Dennis Hopper in that film. So that movie was garbage. So then we get to 3. Movie was mediocre. Then we get to Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation. It was grot. Everybody hated that movie except for Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey was the only one that had a good time on it. Everybody hated it. Including a certain, you know, Renee Zellweger, she, don't bring that up. She hates it. And then we get to the Michael Bay remake, and everybody loves that movie, myself included. Some could even argue it's better than the original, myself included, if you critically look at it. Then we got the prequel, which was the sequel, because no one can actually do their fucking jobs properly. But we got the prequel sequel with Jordana Brewster, you know, when she was on her off time from those shitty Fast and the Furious movies that nobody liked. And then we got the grot-filled movie with Alexandra Daddario, you know, the big-titted, beautiful sex goddess who is in such great films as Percy Jackson, Baywatch, San Andreas. You saw her tits in True Detective the first season, you know, the young woman that was fucking Woody from Cheers. She and Trey Songz did, you know, and I love this. They were in a Texas Chainsaw 3D movie 5 years after the fad was already dead. And beyond that, the movie was fucking grot. No one, even the people that acted in the film, can agree the movie was fucking grot. They just took it for the bag, the check, so they could put it in their Wells Fargo Citibank bank accounts. Then we got Leatherface, which was ho-hum. And now we're here and full circle with, you know, Texas Chainsaw. We're doing the Halloween 2018 bullshit again, where this is a eighth sequel, but it's not. It's a second sequel, because it's a descendant straight from the second one. Even though, you know, the original girl who played Sally has been dead, but we're going to disrespect it anyway and bring another old bitch in just so we could kill her off in a brutal fashion. You see where we're going? Like, what was the point of this? We had some really stupid shit in this movie that makes it, like, Netflix is, like, this is why I don't like Netflix, and this is why I don't pay for Netflix. I borrow my friends, which is, might be coming to an end soon, because they're talking about locking the shit down, and I understand why, because your excessive spending, you really believe that $15 a month for mediocre fare is acceptable. Yeah, you believe that because you know we're paying for your excessive spending for bullshit franchises no one cares about. Texas Chainsaw is a perfect example. And if you do get a franchise that people care about, you fuck it up. Like you did Death Note and Cowboy Bebop. So either way, you're behind the fucking eight ball because you're still incompetent fuckwits. And that leads us once again back to Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which was grot on a grandmother's pussy. It was disgustingly bad. So let's go through it real fucking quick. And the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 2022 Netflix original, only on Netflix, because they even hammer that home to you when you go on your Netflix and watch it and see on the front page, and even when you watch the film. So the Netflix original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, Halloween 2018. This is the story. Without spoiling it, I'm going to give you a rough synopsis. The short and curlies. A group of do-gooders go to a ghost town to resurrect legends.
They refurbished the ghost town, and they believe that they're going to save the world and have ideology of changing the world by resurrecting this ghost town. Now, we all know that kids are, they have delusions of grandeur, and some of them might actually have the key to the future, and we should listen to them. Not these ones. These kids believe they're changing the world by refurbishing a ghost town. And that becomes the inciting incident of why Leatherface loses his shit, because they happen to evict a woman, an old 85-year-old racist bitch. You know, the narrative. The old 85-year-old racist bitch Karen, who had to be let go and thrown out, and they get into it's about a Confederate flag, but the point of the matter is the old bitch kicks the fucking bucket because she loses it. She can't be, like any normal human being would be. She freaks out being thrown out of the only home she's only known for the past 17 decades. So, of course, she had a heart attack and she died. And that was the inciting incident to make Leatherface go on a fucking killing spree. Because cis white male had to go on a killing spree because mama's boy lost his mama. This movie was fucking boring. Even when you got to the brutal kills, they were boring. We got a scene on the bus with a bunch of people where after Leatherface has dispatched people, he's gotten the groove and he gets on a bus and there's a bus full of people, the bus full of people that came to the ghost town to see, the young kids change the universe. But those people all pulled out, Leatherface had his chainsaw in his hand standing right in front of him. He didn't just straight up have, he just stood right in front of him and listened to the monologue of a group of people holding their cell phones up while they were broadcasting it on their Twitter or their TikTok or whatever. You try anything, bro, you're going to be canceled. And the dumb fuck that said that, well, congratulations. You were proceeded to be canceled from life by fucking Leatherface's chainsaw. Because he doesn't give a fuck. He's the ultimate MAGA motherfucker. He wants to make blood great again by cutting your fucking head off, and that's what he did. And he murdered the whole lot of you. You cancel culture pussies. So it goes in, fuck cancel culture, that's what the movie says, but also save the day and learn diversity, you fucking cis white male pieces of white trash. Know your role and shut your mouth. But, at the same time, they do. Fuck that political correctness bullshit. We hate SJW. You guys can't pick your side. You're pussy pieces of shit. I would have respected you if you went one way or the other, 100% on the other side, whether it be SJW or whatever. But you're too much of pussies to pick a side. And then we got a grot-filled film that led up to a very end of nothing. This is a -2/10. Fuck Netflix's Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This movie is actually worse. Leaps and bounds beyond the Call of Duty worse than Resident Evil Return to Raccoon City. Much worse. Resident Evil Return to Raccoon City is fucking, and I'm not being funny, is fucking Psycho or Citizen Kane compared to this piece of grot-filled garbage we call Netflix's Texas Chainsaw Massacre. If this was a music album, it would have gone 4 times copper. Triple copper. There you go. Fuck that movie.
Let's get into the final predictions for AEW's Revolution. And I'm looking very, very much forward to this pay-per-view. I was already looking forward to it before, but now I'm really looking forward to it. Now that I will be seeing it on a big fucking screen. Like, I cannot wait for this fucking pay-per-view. Anyway, let's get into it. All Elite Revolution. There's gonna be some pretty good matches this, or tomorrow night, excuse me. Sorry, I dropped my voice down that low, but smoking does that to you. Anyway, the card is of this. Let's see if we can bring the card up, because it keeps sending me to the old bullshit, which we don't care about. And tickets, which they're already sold out, so why are you still selling tickets? It's literally like 12 hours away, and it's already sold out. You fucking brained it. All right, enough. I'm going into a rant. I don't want to do it. I've done enough. So here we go. The card. I don't care about the predictions, so you're going to have to bear with me a little bit because I have to sift through what they predict. I don't give a fuck what they predict. We only care about what I predict. Just kidding. No, but so I'm going to go from... So they're going from the main event to the bottom. AEW World Championship Hangman Adam Page versus Adam Cole. I don't care about this match, and I don't know why I don't care about it, but they're going with Adam Page. I'm going with Adam Cole. Britt Baker should retain. So the AEW Women's World Championship, on paper, Britt Baker should retain the championship. But I'm going to be stupid. I'm going with Thunder Rosa because she's the one. No offense. She put Britt Baker on the mat. No one gave a fuck about Britt Baker or knew who she fucking was until she fought Thunder Rosa. And Thunder Rosa busted her fucking ass up. Britt Baker will probably win because of shenanigans. But if the shit was clean, Thunder Rosa would mop the fucking floor with her. So, without shenanigans, Thunder Rosa is going to win. With shenanigans, we already know. AEW Tag Team Championship. Jurassic Express. Then they're the champions. Versus Red Dragon versus the Young Bucks. I don't care who wins this match as long as it's not the Young Cucks. Please don't let the Young Cucks win again. But if I have to pick it, I'm going to... The Red Dragon. I'm going with Jurassic Express retaining it, so. AEW TBS Championship, Jade Cargill versus Ty Conti. Jade Cargill's going to retain, no doubt. No doubt. And I hate to say this, but at this point, fucking Ty Conti's just a holdover, and, you know, Jade Cargill is retaining. But it is good, and I will say this, beyond any match she's ever had, with Ty, who is a bad, and I love Ty, I love you, girl, I wish you could win this, but you're not going to. Understand that Jade Cargill is going to have one of the biggest tests of her entire career because for a long amount of the match, Jade is going to get her ass whooped. However, Jade will retain the title. We go to John Moxley versus Brian's winning this. Brian Danielson's winning this. He's going to get his head busted open. They're both going to get busted open, but Brian Danielson's going to go to the limit, and Brian Danielson is going to end up winning. And it's gonna prove that he can hang with, John. And now they'll have an ultra faction, and then we'll go through the motions. But Brian is winning that match. On the next one, CM Punk versus MJF. CM Punk has to win. He has to win. I know Jim Cornette is in a different mind. Jim Cornette is wrong on this one. CM Punk has to win this in a brutal fashion. Even if CM Punk gets fucking Molly, CM Punk has to pull it out and fuck him up. Truly showing the true CM Punk. And then we can go into a third match, which will determine who truly is better than who. Because it will be a tie after that point, if I'm not mistaken. The next match will be Chris Jericho versus Eddie Kingston. Quite honestly, Eddie has to win this match, so I'm going with Eddie Kingston. On paper, Chris should wipe the floor with him because he is literally the janitor of AEW that just happens to have wrestling boots. But Eddie has to win this match to prove he can win the big one, and he's not just eating pie all the time and sucking, Los Negros' cock, or whoever they are, the leftovers of LAX, a much better team. Eddie has to win. Otherwise, just hang up your fucking hobo boots, you fucking degenerate bum on the street sucking dick for nickels. But Eddie has to win, The New York ho has to win. Keith Lee... Let me get a drink so I can not sound so raspy. Alright, excuse me, sorry. Next match, Keith Lee versus Orange Cassidy versus Powerhouse Hobbs versus Ricky Starks versus Wardlow versus Christian Cage or Ethan Page. They're saying Keith Lee. I would normally go with that, but overall, Wardlow needs to win it because, you have the Powerbomb Symphony. You can't be building this motherfucker up for that just to go, ooh, ho-hum. So, Wardlow to win everything. Done with Wardlow. I'm picking him all the way. If you don't, you're fucking idiots. Tony Khan and company, excuse me. Sorry for that last burp, but... Tony Khan and company, I don't care if you don't pick, after you've built fucking Wardlow and doing the package of the beautiful Powerbomb Symphony, if Wardlow does not win, you're idiots. And you're proving that you're a little bit more like WWE than you are AEW nowadays. So it has to be Wardlow. Moving on, the final, who gives a fuck, the AH, God, I hate this shit. The AHFO, Andrade El Idolo, Isaiah Casty and Matt Hardy versus Darby Allin. I'm going with Guevara Allin Sting. We're done with it. Yeah, we're not doing that. Like, fuck all of them. Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, and Sting are winning that match. No doubt. They have to. Because no one cares about the other some dumb fucks on the other team, They love the come of some young guy, so we don't care about what they fucking have to do. Anyway, that's that. Little incoherent at some points, but who the fuck cares? These are the latter years of this podcast. The next episode, if I don't die from whatever this fucking David Cronenberg cold is I got... it'll be a full review on AEW Revolution, especially after I'll be able to see it in that beautiful, beautiful theater. I'll clean up my more reasonings of why I do not like the Batman. I don't hate it. I know it made it sound like it, but why I think that it is not even touching not only The Dark Knight, but it doesn't touch the movie it loves to copy so much, David Fincher's Seven.
And then we'll just say, you know, farewell. Maybe we'll talk about Doom Eternal, who knows. But on the next episode, it's what it is. Fuck it. Have a great night. Hope you guys are enjoying the day. Suck some good and eat some good pussy. There you go. Love you guys. I wish I could fuck you guys to show my appreciation for you, but hey, it's the way it is. Peace.